So we have two readings today. The first one is Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 28, and that is page 1135 in your blue Bibles. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The second reading is 1 Corinthians 12, 4-11, which is page 1152 in the Bibles. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given the Spirit, a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines.
Thank you, Maha. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are here amongst us, that you are already at work in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits. We pray now you would give us attentive ears to hear exactly what it is that you are saying to us today, and how you want to work in us and through us. Strengthen us, we pray, that we might be stronger as warriors and soldiers in your army. Equip us and fill us again with your power. Amen. So we are in this series. We are in this series on spiritual warfare, which is exciting and scary in equal measure, isn't it? We've been reflecting in the first few weeks on a number of things, but the truth that underpins it all is that the spiritual battle is real. We've been told that in Scripture. But because we live in a slightly Christian country, remotely, there's quite a lot of heritage we're building on. We quite often become complacent about that. And actually, God's call to us as his followers is that we don't let complacency keep us in the wrong place in our journey, our life of discipleship under him. So we don't need to be afraid of spiritual battle. But neither should we ignore it. We must take it seriously. We've had three talks so far in this series. First one was just that basic principle. The enemy has been defeated. Jesus, the victor, is our saviour and is on our side. We are fighting on the winning side. Secondly, we learned about prayer and worship and the way in which that just completely brings our focus back to God again, back to the truth that he is sovereign and he will do it. And then last week we had Paul sharing with us from that amazing story of Daniel and his faithfulness in prayer the way in which God worked powerfully through his prayers, and the presence of the angels in the spiritual realms fighting for God on our behalf, doing amazing spiritual battle for us that we never see. God's purposes and our protection in the angelic realms, but we never see them. Well, sometimes we see or we get glimpses. But those truths, we've looked at them so far in order that we would know that we have been covered. We are not fighting this battle without God's covering. He's already done that. But we do need to grow in our awareness, our knowledge of how God has equipped us and how we can grow in those things that God has given us in order to keep fighting against all the attempts of the enemy to bring us down or to rob us of the things that God wants to do in our lives. Today we're thinking about the gift of tongues, a Holy Spirit gift that he gives because it will help us to defend ourselves and see spiritual breakthrough. Have you got the slides? Cool. So the first thing to identify is that the gift of tongues given at Pentecost, the gift of tongues was given at Pentecost was the gift of many different languages. I love this picture because it also reminds us, we've sung already, that we are one family all around the world. We are one family. It's the same Holy Spirit in each and every one of us as we worship Jesus, as we follow him, as the Holy Spirit works in our lives. Whatever language we speak, whatever culture we're from, however we are following Jesus, the same Holy Spirit is at work in all of us. And he gives these languages so that we can be filled with his presence, with his power. As we do that, that's an outworking, a sign of his presence and power at work in us. So on Pentecost, he filled those disciples. The Holy Spirit came. James, the next slide. First point. Yay! The first point, then the Holy Spirit came and gave the gift of tongues as an overflow of being filled with him, and first and foremost as a tool for evangelism. It was the disciples who were afraid. They'd been frightened. They'd been in a locked room in Jerusalem waiting because Jesus had told them to wait. He'd said, wait, the Holy Spirit is coming. And so they were in this locked room, frightened, afraid, fearful of going out into the street, of being arrested, of being accused of following Jesus, because that was still very, very dangerous. But when the Holy Spirit came, he filled them up with so much of himself that they knew that they were already victorious in the battle. They didn't need to be afraid. And so they went out into the streets and began to speak to the crowds of tourists in Jerusalem for the festival. And they spoke in their own languages. The message of Jesus, his love, his death, his resurrection, in their own mother tongue, was a powerful tool. And through those disciples in that day, 3,000 people came to faith. Why? Because they could see the evidence that the power of God was at work in these men and women. The early church went on to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit and with his power. That early church believed that tongues was the evidence of faith and commitment to Jesus that was real. There's a story in Acts chapter 10 about Peter going to visit a man called Cornelius. He was not a Jew, but a God-fearing man, a Gentile. Up until that point, the message of Jesus had only been preached to Jewish people, and they had become believers in Jesus. And there was this understanding that if you wanted to follow Jesus, you had to become Jewish first. But Cornelius, this Gentile man who loved God and wanted to understand, had a dream and invited Peter to come. As soon as Peter started to explain to him who Jesus was and what Jesus had done, Cornelius and his whole household started speaking in tongues. Now, this went against everything that Peter understood about how Jesus was at work and what Holy Spirit wanted to do. And because of that experience, the whole of the council of Christians in Jerusalem accepted and believed that God wanted the Gentiles to come as they were and be part of God's family, to receive his salvation without that requirement of becoming Jewish first. And so the gift of tongues was a powerful part of that process. And as the church continued to grow and to spread, the gift of tongues was then used as an act of worship. It was an expression of praise and a prophetic message from God to the church, which needed interpretation. Paul writes, as we've seen from 1 Corinthians, how this should be done. And we have read about it in our passage today. It really was important to understand, as we reflect on the gift of tongues, that it's one among many gifts of the Holy Spirit. The church at that time was filled with Holy Spirit power. They were empowered in order to operate in the purposes of evangelism and edification. That's a posh word for being encouraged. Praying in tongues was the outworking of the Holy Spirit's presence and power in the early church. It was an important part of their life. It was an encouragement to each other and the means of protecting and defending themselves. So why is it that in our culture today, in the Church of England, we're afraid? I remember as a young teenager within the church, having grown up and known people, it scared me. If I heard or saw people operating in those gifts which seemed rather strange. I think I might have mentioned before I went to HTB during the Toronto Blessing. I was about 15 and it very nearly put me off church completely because there were people hopping and jumping around and barking like dogs. But the way that the Holy Spirit works and the gift of tongues is not something to be afraid of. Neither is it something to be elevated above the other things. But it is a gift of Holy Spirit in order that we might find a deeper connection to God himself and be able to operate praying in our prayer lives more powerfully. Why would we be afraid of that? There are some people within the wider church who believe that these gifts were stopped when the Bible came to be God's authoritative voice to his people. But that is misunderstanding why and how the Holy Spirit is still at work powerfully alongside the written word of God. And so we come to this passage that Paul writes in Romans to the church in Rome. The gift of tongues is also a personal and powerful tool in our lives as a weapon to fight for God, for the living God, and that he uses to strengthen us so that we can continue living in the battle zone. Verse 26 says, if you've got the Bibles open in front of you, it's helpful. Verse 26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So, when we are going through difficult times, when life is getting us down, when the enemy is telling us so many negative things, trying to pull us away from our dependence on God and the truth that he says about us, when the arrows of the enemy's lies seem to be penetrating our armor, when we are tired, when we feel like we can't keep going anymore, when we're discouraged, then, in our weakness, Holy Spirit comes to strengthen us and help us and speak the words that we can no longer put together. I'm sure that we have all experienced times like that, because that is the spiritual battle. We have two options when those things occur in life. We can give in, let Satan have a little victory over our hearts that day, because we know that he has ultimately been defeated. And that's okay, because Holy Spirit is with us then as well. But he has given us a tool. He's given us many tools. But a gift of tongues is a tool through which we can turn and lean into his strength. Lean into him through prayer and become deeply connected to Holy Spirit himself. And allow him to speak words and put them into our mouths and our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Praying in tongues is the surrender of our own control over what words we speak. It's the invitation for Holy Spirit to speak for us, to pray the things he wants to say into the spiritual realms, into whatever situation we are praying for, we are wrestling with, or we're struggling for other people over. As we allow him the authority over our mouths, he will speak his truth, his direction over whoever or whatever it is that we're praying for. And of course, Holy Spirit is God. And so he will pray in line with his own purpose, with his own plans. Therefore, what better way is there for us to pray in the battle than by allowing him to speak? Sometimes tongues comes loudly, prophetically. Sometimes it comes in a quiet whisper. Sometimes our prayers can turn into other sounds and inflections which are not English. Most people who have prayed in tongues have come to experience it in very different ways. It doesn't matter whether it's correct in another language or not. Sometimes people have the incredible privilege of praying something in tongues and they have no idea what it is, but somebody near to them will say, "You've just spoken in whatever language it is," and they'll be able to give interpretation for that and explain how and why it was spoken that way. Other times people are given the gift by a Holy Spirit gifting to be able to understand, not because they know that language, but just to understand in their spirit what that particular message was in another language. However it happens, whatever it sounds like or looks like, praying in tongues has an effect on the unseen spiritual realms. We may never know what God has done through our prayers of surrendered speech. However, the spiritual battle is often redirected by praying in tongues, and we do see the answer to our prayers because of that. I think probably the best example of somebody putting this into practice is Jackie Pullinger. I don't know if you've heard of her or read any of the books about her, but she was an incredibly brave and very blunt woman who was led by God. She got on a boat. She didn't know where God was going to take her. She simply got on a boat and said, "You tell me when to get off." And she got off at Hong Kong. And God led her to be working as a missionary for many, many years in the dangerous and drug-riddled ghettos of Hong Kong, where the triad gangs were at work and where drugs particularly were destroying whole communities. Her work there was constant spiritual battle. She would pray regularly with and for drug addicts, prostitutes, triad members and others, all locked in spiritual darkness, in the work of Satan to destroy lives. And powerfully, God has used this woman's obedience and faith to bring huge numbers of people to know Jesus and to find his freedom at work in their lives. And Jackie Pullinger is quite clear that one of the main ways God has worked in this ministry is for her and the others to be regularly praying in tongues. She was interviewed, and do look up her interviews on YouTube and on online, because I just love how blunt she is with people. She's absolutely hilarious. Well, that's not the right word, but her faith and her Christian life speak and are so centered on Jesus that all the kind of ridiculous questions people ask her, she just kind of rubbishes in her response. But she says this. Nowadays, when people come to know Jesus, she's talking about her ministry with the addicts and others in Hong Kong. Nowadays, when people come to know Jesus, we pray with them for the gift of tongues immediately. It's not an optional extra, we say. He'll give you the new language to help you talk to him. And so they do. And several times when we've prayed for people to receive the gift of tongues, a few days later, they're also prophesying and growing in other gifts. The interviewer asked her, when other people travel to Hong Kong to work with you, is it true that you want them to be able to speak in tongues, that it's somehow a prerequisite? She says, no, it's not a prerequisite. The prerequisite is this. Would you like to help somebody off drugs? Okay? Now, can you manage 4 hours of praying nonstop? Tongues would actually just be a great help to you. That's it. It's not the tongues that makes it special. It's just quite hard to keep going all that time in your own language. For Jackie Pullinger and for the others who work with her, tongues is a powerful weapon. And through their praying in that way, they see spiritual breakthrough. We may not be in that particular place of darkness, but we can be using the gifts of Holy Spirit to defend ourselves and to be strengthened to grow in who we are called to be. When we begin to receive through the gift of tongues, God's words in our mouth, we know it is Holy Spirit praying the will of God, and therefore somehow inside of ourselves we also are hearing God's will. So much so that our prayers become more aligned in English as well as in tongues. And we will see that breakthrough in the situations that we are praying for. Sometimes, as we pray in tongues, it is God's revealing to us, God's revelation, what his will is, so that we can pray more effectively. Verse 27 of the Romans 8 passage says, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And as we heard Jenny share earlier on, and then in that passage, we know that God is working all things together for the good of those who love him. And so whatever the outcome, sometimes we see breakthroughs, sometimes we don't. But as we pray most effectively through Holy Spirit giftings, then we will, whatever that looks like, we will be causing, and we're together with him, causing breakthrough in those situations that we're praying for. So, does that mean that we should all be praying in tongues? No. Holy Spirit gives many gifts. Each of them are just as valuable. Tongues is not a super spiritual gift. But it does help. It is something that we should eagerly desire. For myself, I was 19 and I was on my gap year in Israel, and there were a few other people who worked with me in the place where I was working for the year who could pray in tongues. And having gone at 15 and been very frightened and fearful and thought, okay, God, you can do what you like in my life, but don't do that. I don't want that. At 19, and in that place of being surrounded by others who were really seeking after God, there was a stirring in my heart, an eagerly desiring stirring in my heart. And I asked somebody who was working there full time to pray for me, and they did, and nothing happened. And then over the next week or so, I just found myself in my own personal quiet times of prayer, just whispering, and somehow quietly and gently the gift of tongues began to grow. Over my time in Israel, and then when I came back and I was praying more often for other people mostly, I began to use that gift as the Holy Spirit was working in me to pray. And it became something I found deeply, deeply loving, both for that sense of feeling the Holy Spirit in me, but also for the people I was praying for, that it somehow connected us more deeply as well. I love praying in tongues. It nurtures me. And I really believe it is a powerful weapon. God has given us a tool he has equipped us with in order to be praying in all circumstances, in all situations, with Holy Spirit power, with Holy Spirit presence, so that we pray the will of God, and so that we are surrendered to him fully. And so if we are to take seriously the task of being more aware and better prepared for spiritual battle, which will come against us, whether we're ready for it or not, then we should be seeking Holy Spirit filling, so that it is him who is leading us in all things. Our thoughts, our prayers, our actions, our ordinary speech, and for some of us, the gift of tongues. I want to encourage us this morning just to take a bit of a risk, a bit of a step for God. All of us need more Holy Spirit filling in order that we would be strengthened, in order that we would lean into him and know what he's saying to us. Is he stirring in you this morning an eager desire for more of him? For more of the gift of tongues if you already pray in tongues? Or for that gift if you've never prayed in tongues? Or are there other things? Or are you just simply, I don't know, Holy Spirit. I don't know what you want to do. I don't know how you want to fill me. But I'm open to that. And again, in the spiritual battle that we're facing, there is something very powerful about us stepping out in faith. As we do so, we declare who God is in our lives, and that we trust him, and that we want to stand for him. And so if this morning you are sensing that stirring, and you would like more Holy Spirit filling, or you would like somebody to pray for the gift of tongues for you, I want to invite you to stand. That's awesome. There's a lot of people who don't want more of the Holy Spirit in the church. Do you want more Holy Spirit? Don't stand just because I'm saying that. But it is a real challenge. Do you want more Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, we welcome you to do your work here this morning. It's not my work, it's not our work, it's yours. And we simply give ourselves over to you and ask you to come to do your work amongst us. To fill us up, Lord. Those of us who've taken that step of being bold and brave enough to stand. To stand for you and say, we want more of you, we need more of you, Holy Spirit, so that we can better fight these spiritual battles. So fill us up, fill us with the things that you want us to have, that you want to equip us with. And Holy Spirit, I particularly ask that you would give the gift of tongues to those who eagerly desire it, that they might experience you with your words in their mouths, drawing them deeper into relationship with you and growing in confidence until they are able to pray and that be completely natural. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that you are doing. And we pray you would keep doing it, Lord. Amen. Tony's going to play.